The views expressed in the following podcast are not necessarily the views of the United States Air Force or the Air Force Reserve, but rather the perspectives of the individual speakers. No endorsement of any particular person, business, or interest is ever intended.
Welcome everyone to the latest episode of Ready, Set, Airlift. I'm your host, Julian Hernandez, a member of the 433rd Airlift Wing Public Affairs team. We hope you enjoyed a peaceful and restful Thanksgiving holiday. This time of year is synonymous with family for many of us. Each year since 1993, the President has recognized November as Military Family Appreciation Month. In that spirit, we want to highlight the story of one of our military families here at the Alamo Wing. First Lieutenant Amy Corley is a member of the 433rd Aeromedical Evacuation Squadron. In addition to her own service, Lieutenant Corley has three sons, all of whom are serving in the U.S. Army. And, in a story that caught the attention of our colleagues at Army Public Affairs, all three of Corley's sons are stationed together at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. My colleague, First Lieutenant Deborah Slusher, sat down with Corley to chat about the demands of military family service and what keeps her and her sons serving.
Thank you for joining us today, Lieutenant Corley, and want to get to know your story. Start with what you do here at the 433rd, where you work, and if you can tell us a little bit about what that entails.
So here I'm a flight nurse. I'm not qualified yet. I just got out of OTS, new to the military. As far as what flight nurses do, we do med-surg nursing in the air, moving patients from one location to another, whether they need a higher level of care. So we're moving people.
Okay. And for those of our audience who aren't familiar, the OTS, that would be the officer training school. So you're very new to the Air Force then?
Brand new.
Okay. And no prior experience enlisted?
I'm a non-prior. I was a stay-at-home mom. So even for nursing, I've been a nurse since 2016. So I've not even been a nurse that long, considering. I was a stay-at-home mom to my kids for about 10 years and decided to go to college in my 30s and got my nursing degree. And then the kids all left. I have triplet boys. They left for the Army in 2020, and we were empty nesting, and then moved to Texas, and then I decided to join the Air Force in my 40s. So not really a typical story. I got married when I was 20, had a set of triplets, stayed home, went to college in my 30s, joined the military in my 40s.
So that's great. I like that perspective because not everyone joins out of high school or out of college at 18 or 20 or whatever the case may be. So no, that's great to hear. I'm a stay-at-home mom myself. So your triplet sons, that was actually how we heard about you in the public affairs office, was there was a story done on your sons. They're in the Army, you mentioned. And could you tell everyone a little bit about that?
When I was at officer training school, OTS, I actually had a gentleman in my flight that was public affairs. And I had told him about my sons. I'm sorry, I call them boys. I realize that they're men now. But I had told him that my boys were all triplets, that they were all in the Army, and that they had all recently PCS'd to Schofield Barracks together. And I said, what do you think about that? Because I'm thinking about reaching out. And he said, absolutely, they'll love it. So I did that. So I reached out to public affairs at Schofield, and they did a piece recently, both written, and they did a video. They followed up with a video of the kids, just showcasing the fact that they're triplets, and because it's not very common for them to be stationed together. So I had reached out to public affairs, and they were very excited to do the story. And my kids were probably more hesitant, but they played along. They were good. Really, everyone that has read it or seen the video, I've had friends that say, oh my gosh, I'm crying watching this, which I'm not that emotional. I'm a mom of boys. But everyone has loved the article. It's very sweet. So they did end up all making it out too. They were all up for reenlistment, obviously, because they all went in together or around at the same time. And so Wyatt was the initial one. I don't know, how much do you want to know about the kids? So Wyatt was the first one that went in. He went in September of 2020. So he was the first one up for reenlistment. He has an intelligence job. My husband and I had told him, you should stay in, get some more experience, because if you're looking at NSA on the other side, you're 22. No one's going to take you seriously right now, right? He started looking at first Fort Sam Houston to get here closer to us because we're in Corpus, and they did not need anybody for intelligence. I guess they were over for signals intelligence. He started looking overseas because I guess it's San Antonio or bust. So he reached out to Korea and all these places, which made me a little sad because they're starting families and that means your grandkids are away. But anyway, Hawaii popped up. So the other two boys swore up and down that they were getting out. They're done. The one in the infantry had just gotten back from a deployment in Romania. And it's hard. It's hard on his wife. It's hard on the two kids. So anyway, he swore up and down. And next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call. Mom, I'm reenlisting with Wyatt and I'm going to Hawaii. So then Liam was the last man standing. He was at JBLM in Seattle. And that phone call actually surprised me. So he called and said, I reenlisted to Schofield with Wyatt and Noah. So he was the last one to go, but they are all together, which is good because with them all being in, they've been separated. One was South Korea for a year. Noah, I feel, is never home because he's infantry and they do so much training. And then he had his deployment to Romania. Anyway, it is nice to have them all in one place, but it's a 5-hour time difference now. And I got 3 grandkids, one on the way in March, and they're all in Hawaii. So it's not a terrible place to have to go see your grandkids.
No, for sure. That's a good vacation spot to go visit them and an excuse to get out there to be able to visit the grandkids. And you mentioned it's hard for you because they're further away, but that must be pretty exciting for them to be stationed together. And that was, I think, the most touching part of the story was that the Army helped make that happen for them.
Absolutely. And they love it. They love being together again. When you're in high school and they're leaving for the military, they're just starting out. And I don't know, when you're a teenager and you have siblings, I'm assuming you have siblings, you fight and you don't really realize like how precious that relationship is. Precious is a girly term. They're going to hate that. But they didn't realize, I don't think, which they mentioned in the video, like how important their relationships were until they were spread out all over, not just the country, but the world, and not being able to have those relationships like they have. And now every Friday and Saturday night, they spend the night at each other's houses, the entire family. They cook together. They go to the beaches together. I have 3 daughter-in-laws. They're all amazing. We have the 3 grandkids, one on the way, and they all love each other. They all hang out, and it's gorgeous out there. I went out, did my first salute with them. The beaches are amazing. The island is amazing. So they are truly living their best life.
Being in the military, it can be tough on the family, and it's great that they've gotten this opportunity. But here you join later in life. What prompted you to join the military?
I don't know how much time you have. I'm just kidding. Number one, I love this country. 2, my husband, who's previous Air Force, he supported my decision to want to do it. I had wanted to do it earlier in life, and it just didn't work out until the kids all left. 3, I feel like I'm a nurse by trade, and I feel like God gave me that as a gift, and I feel like you should use your gift in all the ways that you can. Also, when you're sending your kids out and everybody's always, thank you for your service, how are we okay with sending our kids to do this work if we're not willing to do it too? And I was the only person that hadn't. My husband has, all my kids have. So it almost felt like duty. And then I look at my granddaughter and I want her to know, and my daughter-in-laws, that you can have it all. You can have everything. You can get married. You can go to college. You can be a stay-at-home mom. And you can be 43 and you can still thrive in the Air Force, or if you want another branch of the military, but you can have it all, because people don't, they think they have to make a choice. Like, if I'm going to be a mom, that's going to be it. And it's not. You can still go to college. You can still be this successful. You can get the degree. I just want the girls and my granddaughters to know you can do it all. But I truly do enjoy nursing. And so that's why, that's the long-winded. My why is all of those things together.
I don't think that was long-winded at all. And it sounds like there's a lot of willingness to sacrifice in your family. Was there any military background further back than your husband for your family? Or did it start with him?
So my husband's stepdad was in the Marines. I know that. But outside of that, my husband's brother, but that wouldn't be going further back. He was in the Army and then Coast Guard. But historically, like on my family, no. that my husband, I do feel like there's sacrificial jobs. Like my husband was a police officer in the Air Force, and then he was a police officer on the civilian side. And so for the kids and myself, that means you're missing holidays and you're missing family. It's a completely sacrificial job to have, whether you're the spouse or you're the one doing the job. And as soon as my husband was injured on the job and had to retire medically, that is actually what's spurred me to go to nursing school. And so I went to nursing school. And then as soon as he had to retire medically, I started working. So we flip-flopped roles, which I feel was a pretty integral part. It was when the kids were in high school and they really needed their dad to be home and to be tough with them, if I'm being real honest. But then nursing is the same way. It's a sacrifice. You're missing holidays and they're 12-hour shifts. And if you have a really sick patient, you can't just like, all right, I'm out. It's time to clock out. Right. That's just not how the job works. And so I feel like the kids have grown up having that understanding that certain jobs are just sacrificial. And thank God their wives are so, I mean, they're all amazing. It's very hard on them. I know that when I was gone at OTS, my husband called the girls, which I found out later when I was in Hawaii just recently. They're like, yeah, Tracy called us and told us, I don't know how you girls do this because she's only been gone like 8.5 weeks and it's hard, right?
Yes.
And Noah spent nine months in Romania and Liam was gone for a year. So it is very sacrificial. But I feel like our family, we have a good foundation and a good understanding that just because you're not there doesn't mean you're not there. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. So. And because I did want to ask what it inspired, do you think, your sons to join as well, if that was something that they had picked up from you and your husband?
So laughably, I mean, like the joking, the light side of it is that we always told them we're not paying for college, so you'd better figure it out. That was the bottom line always. Because, and then friends of mine would be like, oh my gosh, you have triplets. I hope you're saving up for college. I'm like, why do I have to pay for their college? So that was the ongoing joke from childhood up. So I feel like there was always an understanding that the expectation was, you better figure it out. You're going to be 18. And we had always talked about Air Force just because that was my husband's background. And then they flip-flopped on us and decided to go Army. But I think that was always just in the back of our minds. That was going to be the plan. How some families, it's like you graduate high school and you go to college. Ours was you're going to graduate and you're going to go in the military.
Oh, and that is the flip side. There's sacrifices to joining the military, and then there's definite benefits as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, are they taking advantage of that and going after their degrees, or are they focusing on their career field?
Not yet. They're still young, and they're now especially they're having fun because their brothers are there. So it has become a good time. They have not yet, but I am hopeful that they will because they've got another 4 or 5 years now. So hopefully they'll take advantage. But otherwise, I've sat there and said, I don't know why people don't join the military as they're sitting in their homes with food on the table. They're not in their parents' home anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like the goal is to like grow up an adult, and they are doing that. And not only that, they're learning an amazing skill. All of them, they all have good jobs that will translate to the real world or the civilian world. So forgot what your question was. Rambled.
No, that's fine. Actually, it's because you made a point there and it got me thinking, you came in a little bit later, but that also means you bring a very different perspective into your job. And how does that actually help you, do you think, having that just life experience and then coming in to your job here at the 433rd?
So from a nursing standpoint, and which obviously here at the 433rd is also a nursing job, I think life experience brings a lot to the table because things that get perhaps younger people that have not experienced certain things riled up. I'm a pretty calm person as far as when something, if we have to change plan or if it doesn't get me as excited as some of the younger people. And I know at OTS especially, I was like considered the mom of the group. I always had gum for everyone, even though we're not supposed to have gum. But it was like I was always making sure, do you need a Motrin? Do you need this? And so that motherly thing on top of like life experience, I think that I know one of the people in my flight, he actually said to me, he's, it's really nice having you here. He goes, don't take this wrong, but it's like having your mom here. And so that was one of the things that my husband and I had talked about when I talked about joining. And he said, you might be on one of these flights bringing kids. I look at the younger people as kids. He goes, you might be bringing one of these kids home and they've had this terrible experience, and now you're comforting. It'll feel like they have their mom there. So I feel like that to me is a comfort, knowing that if I get deployed, or when I get deployed, I guess is the better term, that not only I know I'm a good nurse, but also being able to bring that comfort to somebody that is having to go through a scary time and make them feel like their mom's there. I'm okay with that.
No, I think that's awesome. And it's one of the unique things, I think, about the reserves in particular, with some of the cultural differences, is we tend to be a little bit older than the active duty. And I think having those avenues, like, it's okay if you come in later in life. That's not unusual in the reserves at all. It does offer a sort of different perspective, because I went at 30, 35, 36 as well to OTS. So not exactly the straight out of college route. Do you think that your perspective of being in the military now changes how you view your sons being in the military, or is that pretty much the same?
It's absolutely changed it for me. Just having that understanding when, you know, hurry up and wait. I know every person in the military has heard that statement. Or anytime there's any type of a frustrating situation, my husband's like, how do you think your kids feel? He's like, you're a first lieutenant. People actually, you know, there's a difference. He goes, when your kids went in as nobody and get treated like a nobody, how much more do you think they're frustrated? So that's an aside, but just really understanding how flexible you have to be and the hours that they put in, knowing that your fitness has to be up to par. There's so much required of people that are in the military. You know, it's so easy and flippant to say, thank you for your service. And I think people are appreciative, but I really don't think truly people that have never done military, never had a family member that was military, I don't really think they truly understand the sacrifices that people in the service give. I mean, we just had a ton of people come back to the unit from deployment. And so it's, I get that, but I got it from an outside perspective. And so now being in, and OTS was not at all a deployment. I'm not trying to say that it was, but just that understanding of having to go and be gone for 8.5 weeks, trying to figure out who's going to take care of your animals in your house and all of those things. And thankfully, I have my husband. He did everything and he's amazing. But there's so much more, like, sacrifice-wise, or like with reserves too, knowing that we have jobs on the outside and at any moment can be called, or the expectation. We went on a flight, I forget when it was, but earlier in the year, and we got stuck. So now you're calling your nursing job and saying, sorry, I can't make it, I'm stuck. You know what I'm saying? And so just all of those little things. But definitely I have a greater appreciation for what my kids do, because they do it full time. And I feel like a greater understanding as a general whole as to the sacrifices that people make to do this job.
You mentioned being away for OTS.
Mm-hmm.
I went, and my husband, he's a clinician, but he can be called away as a therapist. He can be called away 24/7. And so we had to figure out our arrangements for our daughter, because we live away from all of our family. Mm-hmm. And for that particular instance, because I've gone away for other long things, we decided to send her to her grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
So she was away from both mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled my eyes out.
You know, it's hard.
On her third birthday.
Yeah.
Calling, singing to her.
Yeah.
But not being able to be there for those things.
Yeah.
It is a sacrifice, because mm-hmm. then it's not just that day. It's leading up to it mm-hmm. and after. And it's a sacrifice on the kids too.
Yeah.
Do your sons actually remember when their father was in? Because you said he was in, like, 11 or 12
years. No, so that was before I was married to him.
Okay.
That was before I was married to him. No. But my goodness, he always worked afternoon shifts, so he was always gone 3 to 11. So by
that's
the time
right,
cause he came
was...
home, yeah, so he was police. But yeah, the Christmas that Noah was in Romania, and we all, the rest of us all went, we're from Chicago, the Chicago area. So I just did not anticipate the emotional strife with my boys. I was like, it was not, Christmas is usually like this happy, good, we're all home together, but Noah was missing. And so it was like, you expected, my daughter-in-law's name is Una. So we expected like Una to be emotional and for it to be hard. But for the other two, I was like mind blown that it was so hard on them, like tears. And I was like, oh, my goodness, it just makes your heart happy that they like each other, because not all families have good relationships. And that's when I see some of these military people that join the military because they have nothing else. You know what I mean? And I hear that because in different circumstances, people ask, what's your why? And some people, it's just like they needed health insurance or they needed, and that's so sad to me because they didn't have anything on the outside, or people that their families didn't come to their graduations. My husband and I, COVID did us dirty, but because my husband has a veterans card, he was still able to get on the bases. So don't tell anyone, but he snuck on for their graduations. So I couldn't go, but he went. I was able to go to one of them because he, the one that did intelligence, his tech school was like 9 months. It was an eternity. So yeah. We went everywhere to try and to see the kids. And so the amount of like airfare and different things that we've had to do, and having three of them. So I'm blessed that the kids want, one, to be together, and two, that they are together. And now, instead of having to run to Kansas and to Seattle and to El Paso, I only have to go to one place when they need me. And that's nice. But it also means now that they're 5 hours, I get phone calls at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning when they, because I'm very close. That's the other nice thing. Tracy and I are very close with the kids too. But the phone calls that we get, like, how do I dose their Tylenol? That is a 2 a.m. phone call, because to them, it's only what, 8, 9, I don't know. I can't do the math, but it's 5 hour difference. There are small challenges with that, but I'm glad that they're all together and hopefully there's less sacrifice. I know Noah is about to leave for a month. So now Una, but now she's not alone, because before she was in Kansas alone. Now she's at least alone with her two other families and her sister-in-laws. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Having that network of support.
Absolutely. So it's not like the car breaks down, they're all alone and I'm trying, not that it's my job to try and figure out, but you're always going to be their mom.
Right.
So when they're like, oh, we have a flat tire and I'm on the side of Interstate 10, you're still trying to help. But now it's, yes, we still are trying to help or be there as their parents, but at least they have each other.
Yeah, that is a good one. My brother-in-law is in the Navy for 20 years. And that's one thing that my sister had to learn, is she had to build a network wherever they went, mm-hmm. because you need that support. And yes, you can always call mom, but mom's not physically there.
Correct. And they have their, like, you realize how close people are, especially here, seeing all these people coming back from deployment, the relationships that people form beyond deployment together. So I understand there's like military bonds, but I don't think it's ever going to trump the three of them. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
And now they share both of those, which is very unique. And then you share with them as well that bond of just military service.
Yes.
And the understanding of what that feels like, how it is to work with people that closely and build those kind of bonds. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice shared experience they all have now.
It's fun. None of them kept their military bearing for my first salute, but we did have a good time together, because that was always an on. I forgot that when you asked, why did I join? The ongoing joke was always so my kids would have to salute me. That was the ongoing joke. So then when I was at OTS and somebody told me, I didn't even know there was a first salute. I didn't know what that was. I'm like, I'm heading to Hawaii to get my first salute from my kids. That's what I did. But none of, they were giggling. My mother looked at the picture. She goes, are they supposed to be smiling? I'm like, no, no one had any military bearing that day.
It's one of those days you're going to remember.
I know, it was a lot of fun. I wish my husband could have been there, but he'd tell you he was home with our 3 dogs, 2 cats, and 9 chickens. Yes.
Fur babies at home.
Yep, and fluffy ones.
Are there any experiences or lessons that you would like to share that you think are unique to your perspective?
Regarding life in general or the military?
Life in general, the military, having a military family, because it's different, for sure.
I think the best advice I can give to people, both in general and for military, is to just be flexible and to enjoy the moments. There's times where I've flown all 3 kids down for a 4-day weekend just so that they could all be together. And, you know, you're spending thousands of dollars to get everybody together to spend like truly what, a day and a half before they have to fly home. So just enjoy the moments that you have with your family and roll with the punches.
I think something that I've heard throughout this whole time is you've each decided to join and make that sacrifice, but you've all worked to still keep those family bonds.
Absolutely. I feel like we've always appreciated, well, me as their mom, when you have three kids, people talk about how hard it is when your kids go to kindergarten. But if you have three kids and they're all different ages, the first one kills you and then you're used to it a little bit by this. When that school bus left with all three of my kids, I just cried. And I don't cry. And I'm like, you stole my kids, right? They're gone now. And so when they left for the military, now going forward to the, not really the end, but you start at kindergarten and now they're leaving for the military. And it was a struggle. It was almost like we equate it to, or we try to explain to people, like a death in the family. Because all of a sudden, our house was like ghostly quiet and the kids are gone. So we've always tried to hold on to each of those moments when they passed. That's it. I don't have any more kids. So whether it's a graduation, we're always trying to celebrate and hold on to everything because truly one life is short and you don't know when you're done. But also just having the three of them, knowing how lucky I am to have the three of them and that each moment when it passes, it's done because I don't have any more kids. They're not coming and they tend to do all these things together. You know what I'm saying? Two of them even share a wedding day just a year apart. Anyway, but yeah. Holding on to all of that stuff as far as, I guess, just enjoying the moment.
Thank you for your time and coming out here and sharing your story.
Yeah, anytime. Thanks for having me. The 433rd is great, and I am happy to be here. I feel lucky to be doing that. And even though not necessarily serving alongside of my kids, serving alongside of my kids. So it's awesome.
Your story is wonderful.
Thank you.
Before we go, some announcements for you ahead of the December UTA. In keeping with the spirit of Military Family Appreciation Month, the Wing is hosting a family photo opportunity this UTA. Alamo Wing members can bring out their families to the flight line this Sunday from 10 to 1400 for a special picture with the C-5. During this time, Public Affairs will also be facilitating unit photos. Reach out to your leadership for details on when your unit is scheduled. The Wing's annual Feed the Troops event is happening Saturday from 10:30 to 1300 at the Live Oak Dining Facility. Commanders will be serving a free holiday meal to their airmen. Make sure to stop by. We'd like to officially welcome Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Patrick to the Alamo Wing. Lieutenant Colonel Patrick is assuming command of the 433rd Operations Group. His assumption of command ceremony is happening Saturday at 1400 inside Hangar 826 on the flight line. The monthly FOD walk is happening Sunday morning at 8:30. The Wing Commander would like to encourage airmen to attend and help maintain safety on the flight line by helping to ensure it is clear of debris that can damage aircraft. Airmen should meet at Spot 1 on the flight line. The Chiefs Group is hosting a special briefing about the potential threats posed by TikTok. It is scheduled for Sunday from noon to 1300 at the 68th Airlift Squadron Auditorium. The intended audience is enlisted members in the grade of E6 and below. A valid security clearance is required to attend. That's going to do it for this episode of Ready, Set, Airlift. Please remember to subscribe or follow the podcast on whatever platform you like to listen to us on. It helps us know we are delivering content you're enjoying. And feel free to drop us a line on the Wing Facebook or Instagram page or via email to airliftpodcast@gmail.com. On behalf of the Public Affairs team, I want to wish you all a joyful holiday season. May the new year bring you many blessings. We'll catch you next year with our first episode of 2025 coming to your feed just before the January UTA. I've been your host, Julian Hernandez. Take care of yourselves and your people.